The reading is in two parts this morning. The first comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and this can be found on page 1032 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, and this is on page 1001. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Before I speak, may we pray. Lord Jesus, may my words and our thoughts be acceptable to you this morning. In your name, our Saviour and our friend, we pray. Amen. Brilliant. So I'm talking to you about our final belief on the list. We believe in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in both word and action, loving and serving those around us. And if you didn't already spot it, I hope that as we go through this morning, you'll realise why I chose those two readings, both of which I think are quite wonderful. So, when I was at a very low ebb, which I was for about 3 years, very anxious, very depressed, constantly overwhelmed with, I felt, way too much to do, and an inability to prioritise things, someone gave me a piece of advice by asking me and then answering what I would consider a rather curious question. And I apologise to the vegetarians and vegans among us, and I apologise also to any elephant lovers that may be sitting here this morning. But this is what they said: "How do you eat an elephant?" And the answer is, one bite at a time. And that's how I'd like to take this morning, this final belief: one bite at a time. So let's start with the good news of Jesus. Because if we don't know what that is, we haven't got a hope, have we? So I've heard it suggested that as Christians, we should be able to have an elevator pitch, a short, pithy explanation of our faith that we can give to anybody who should ask us about it. Well, I really don't think that you can go much better than the words that we read on our paintings along the wall there, which were done by the Haynes family a few years ago. It's John 3:16, and it's a life verse, I think, if ever there was one. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Well, I think that sounds like good news. But if you want something a little bit more involved and developed, I remember a few years ago now, I used to wear a wristband, which I think I got when I was at Spring Harvest. And it's got four symbols on it, and they were designed to help me spell out the gospel message. And this is how I would use it if someone asked me why I was wearing it or what it meant. So the love heart, which is the first symbol, reminds me that God made me and God loves me. And then the cross reminds me that I do wrong things and they get in the way of my relationship with God, who is perfect and cannot tolerate wrong or sin, as we like to call it. The cross, the next symbol, reminds me that Jesus gave me and anybody else who wants it the most amazing free gift by dying on the cross to take the punishment for those wrong things so that I can be forgiven and be close to God and live forever with him, both in this world and the next one. And the question mark is a challenge. Am I, or the person I'm speaking to, going to accept that free gift? Now, I think if I were designing the bracelet, I would have a fifth symbol, which would be a flame, because that reminds me that if I choose to be a friend of Jesus, I get a special helper. It's called the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit strengthens and transforms me day by day to become more like Christ. So I think that's pretty good news, would you agree? So, our belief says we believe in sharing that good news in word and action. So, what does that look like? Well, combining word and action is a biblical pattern, and it's what Jesus did. If you look at Matthew 9:35, it tells us that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, the word, and healing every disease and sickness, the action. So what we're saying is that words alone aren't enough. What did we hear in the reading from Luke about Jesus calling Peter and Andrew? He acted to help them. He performed a miracle. He caught them a whole load of fish after they'd spent the entire night fishing and catching nothing. And then he asked them to come and work with him. And James tells us that faith without works is like a body with no spirit. So it's no good just talking the talk, is what we're saying. Like Jesus, we have to walk the walk as well. See, James spells it out for us. He says, "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Sense, doesn't it? Well, I don't know about you, but I think many of us might be much happier with actions than with words.
So the idea of being able to share the good news through our actions, rather than actually having to engage people in conversation, might feel like a relief. Well, before you get too comfortable, actions alone aren't enough either. As I'm fond of saying, Christians don't have a monopoly on good works, being kind, helpful, generous. There are many people of other faiths and of no faith at all who do the most wonderful work in their communities and through the world. But what makes Christians distinctive, as we see on that bracelet, is our love of Jesus Christ and our acceptance of his gift of reconciliation with God and of salvation. So we need actions and words. I can't attribute the quotation, but when I discussed my talk with Nick, he mentioned it. I think it's really useful. It says, action opens the door, words explain the reason, and the two must walk together. And we don't need to be scared about finding the words, because we can pray for them, like Paul in Ephesians, when he says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And I hope it goes without saying too that we have to be gentle with people when explaining our faith and the reasons for it. As 1 Peter 3 tells us, we need to be gracious about it. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. So that's the first bit unpacked. We believe in sharing the good news of Jesus in both word and action. But what about the loving and serving others a bit? So let's remind ourselves, the good news we're sharing is that God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, that anyone who believes won't perish but will have eternal life. Jesus opened his arms of love on the cross, and as we become more like Christ, we become more loving, and our love for others leads to service. Through our service, we can share the gift of love God has given to us with others. But we're not called to love conditionally. We mustn't love and serve those around us because we want to win them for Christ. We love and serve them because God first loved us. Of course, we want to see everyone drawn to Christ, but God gives everybody a free choice. And we need to remember that. So at this point, I think it's worth sharing something that I heard the wonderful Selwyn Hughes say when I was a very rookie Christian. And again, I think it was at Spring Harvest. And I think it's one of the most encouraging things for anyone who is tasked with sharing their faith to heal. And this is what he said. He said, there is a Redeemer, and it's not you, and it's not me. So I say hallelujah to that. It's my job to share that news, but it will be the Holy Spirit who does the convicting. And if we think back to that Luke passage, Jesus commissions Peter and later the other disciples straight away to win hearts and minds for him. He doesn't wait until they're mature in their understanding. They can be fishers of men from the get-go because they're not going to be doing it in their own strength. They are not the redeemers. The Holy Spirit is. And even when they are fully formed and they've heard all Jesus' teaching and witnessed his miracles, his death, his resurrection, they still don't have to do it on their own. Jesus is going to be with them, as he says in that passage we heard from Matthew, even to the very end of the age. So, I digressed a bit. Let's go back to looking at what loving and serving those around us looks like. I would say, It's about relationship. And relationship is really important in our lives of, as Christians. Because after all, we are created to be in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. That's what it means, I think, to be created in the image of God. We are made to be in relationship. And relationship is at the heart of opening the door to faith. It's about doing what Jesus did. He got alongside people first, and then he shared the good news with them. Think about the Samaritan woman at the well, who Jesus took to task only after he'd spent time talking to her and getting to know her. And think about Zacchaeus, who only had to give half of what he owned to the poor and pay back all those that he'd swindled twofold after Jesus had, in the words of one of my favourite choruses as a little girl at Sunday school, gone to his house for tea. Do you remember when Nick told us from the front about Alpha? He didn't say, send your friends along. We weren't just to tell them about Alpha and expect them to turn up on their own. Nick encouraged us to ask them if they'd like to come along with us, to come on a journey with us, in relationship with us. And that's exactly what one of my friends did. And that's exactly what two other people who came along to Alpha did on the second week of our course. They invited their partners to come and to hear the good news with them. And I have to tell you, we are having the best time on our journey together. So, we don't love and serve people just to win them for Christ. We love and we serve them because we're in relationship with them. We love and serve them because we care. And loving and serving them looks like looking out for the lady down the road who's had an operation and needs some help with the housework as she recovers. Or caring for someone who's grieving by spending time with them, just by being there. Being a street angel maybe on a Friday or a Saturday night. It might even be something that's quite costly and actually inconvenient for us, like lending someone your car when theirs breaks down and they have to be somewhere they really need to be. So, as I finish, I wonder if I could ask you to think about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, loving and serving other people, and what that might mean. Because, let me ask you that question again. What would sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, loving and serving people because you care, look like for someone of your generation and in your context? Perhaps it looks like meeting someone at U3A and inviting them along to a Thursday communion. Perhaps it looks like asking your friend who's having a really difficult time at the moment if they'd like you to pray for them. Or even, if you're feeling really brave, if they'd like you to pray with them. Perhaps it might be lending a book about faith. Bear Grylls' book, The Greatest Story Ever Told, is near the top of the bestseller list at the moment, and it's a series of eyewitness accounts about the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a great introduction. We all have our particular circumstances and styles, and there's no single right way to do it. But God wants each one of us to be part of his rescue plan. So as I close, let's pray that we will be open to opportunities that God puts in our way this week. Opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and through loving service to those around us this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, you have searched us and you know us. You know our circumstances. You know the way we like to interact with others. Would you make us aware of opportunities to share your good news in word and deed through loving service to those around us this week? Amen.